good morning. This is Radio Bellity. I'm Ray Hanania on 690 AM WNZK Radio, broadcasting from Detroit. I'm sitting in for Layla Al-Husseini, who's here every Monday through Friday on the only morning show in the American Arab community in the country, which is hard to believe, people. Well, we've been here over 100 years, and this is our only morning show in the whole country. There are 4.5 million Arabs in this country, and maybe the U.S. Census will finally recognize us, but they don't want to recognize us as Arabs. They want to recognize us as MENA, M-E-N-A, Middle East and North Africa. Sorry, bub in Washington. I don't care who is the president. I've been fighting for this one. We need to be identified as Arab. Everything has been building up against the identity of Arabs in this country. Now we're either Muslim, we're Christian, or we're individual identities, but it's the Arab identity that we really have to push. Our radio show call-in number is 248-557-3300 here at WNZK on Friday, March 31st. 248-557-3300. My mainstream columns, if you want to keep up with me, appear in a lot of newspapers here in the United States. On the Des Plaines Valley News, the Southwest News Herald, the Regional News newspaper, and the Reporter newspapers every Wednesday and Thursday. And they're viewable online at my personal website at thedailyhookah.com. My columns on Middle East topics begin every week in the Arab News, appear every week in the Arab News newspaper and online at thearabnews.com. Arabnews.com is the website. You can download my free podcast app from the Apple Store. Visit my personal website again at thedailyhookah.com. And we're back here at WNZK AM 690 in Detroit. Little technical thing there that happened. That's part of technology, folks. That's the way the world is. Although, who knows, it could be the Mossad trying to sabotage my radio show, because it is the best radio show in the freaking country, pushing and advocating for Arab and Palestinian rights in Palestine in a way that they hate to see it advocated for. Or it could be the FBI, because they were spying on Donald Trump. You know they're spying on me, right? I know that. You know, I served in the middle, during the Vietnam War, and for 2 years, active duty. And the day I got out of active duty, the FBI started investigating me secretly for 2 years. They spent millions following me around. I don't know why. It was just stupid. They said they thought I was a terrorist. And then after 2 years, they concluded, in typical bureaucratic bungling and bad intelligence, that I was just a guy trying to help my Arab community better themselves in this country. It took them how many millions and 2 years to figure that out? You got to really wonder about that stuff. So whenever I read a story about FBI spying and this government spying on people, I know it's true because that's what they do. They do that all the time. Anyway, our number is 248-557-3300 if you want to call in and join us. We're waiting for our guest, Faisal Abbas, who a great guy, who, as I was saying, was a longtime journalist, and he now is the editor of the Arab News in Saudi Arabia. And we're going to talk, hopefully, a little bit about Saudi Arabia. Now, you got to understand the time difference is something like, I think, 10 hours or maybe 13 hours here. So hopefully everything is going to be pretty good. It's like 4 o'clock over there, and he's been traveling. I don't know if you visit the Arab News at arabnews.com. You could read about what's happening in the Middle East. It's in English, and I write there every week, of course, as I tell you every time I'm on this show. We're sitting in again for Layla Al-Husseini, who has, as I said, the best morning and only morning radio show in the country. And again, that's just amazing considering there are 4.5 million of us in the United States. And you'd think that we would have more and stronger media. You need to do everything you can to support the media because that's our voice to the American people. You need to really kind of do that. 248 557-3300 is our number if you want to call in. And we can talk about a lot of subjects. This week, the Arab League was meeting in Jordan. And I don't know, I'm just so tired. It's kind of embarrassing. And I saw the Twitter stuff this week about the Arabs falling asleep at the board meetings, you know, at this meeting in Jordan. I guess there's someplace along the sea coast. Beautiful, I'm sure. You know, and these guys, listen, they're well-intentioned. I'm not trying to say that, you know, these are bad people. Most of them really want to try to do good, but they just don't know how. You know, I know that the Arab League has been doing this since, what, the 1940s? I think this is their 28th summit. I'm just tired of all the empty rhetoric that comes out of their meetings. You know, what do they do? It's almost embarrassing. It's not embarrassing to see them sleep. At least if they were sleeping, they'd have an excuse, you know, why they can't get anything done. But I have to tell you that what's embarrassing is not that they're sleeping, but the fact that they don't get anything done. And they put out a statement. They said, you know, we're going to, you know, push for a Palestine state with Israel, and all the Arabs will, you know, be willing to work with Israel if Israel is willing to embrace the two-state solution. Well, isn't it clear to anybody yet that the Israelis are fanatics, their government? These people are the original haters in this world. They're the worst. The Israelis don't want peace. They want all the land. All they've been doing is killing people and imprisoning people and taking land, and we're sitting there like paupers on the side of the road with our hands out, saying, hey, can you give me a little bit of peace? Please, you know, holding a little cup, you know, going, could you give me a little bit of peace, please? Just any kind of peace would be great. I don't know, that's pretty sad, isn't it? The big Arab world, 22 Arab countries, and they can't get their act together to push for, you know, the rights that they demand. And the sad part is a lot of these countries are cutting deals with Israel on the side. You know, they're not even being honest. And that's really kind of depressing to me, I think. So, anyway, 248-557-3300 is our phone number if you want to call in and share your thoughts on this. Does it bother you when you hear that the Arab League is meeting, and you know, do you expect anything? And isn't really the embarrassment, not that they're sleeping, because that sounds like a good excuse to me, but the embarrassment is that, you know, what do they really get done? I'm Ray Hanani. Why don't we take another break here? Mike, why don't we do that? And then when we come back, we can continue talking about some of the issues that are in the news. I did a column about the Israeli students claiming that they're victims of anti-Semitism and hate at American universities. And I'm thinking, oh my God, are you kidding me? You guys have been hating on Arab students for the past 40 years with the support of universities. I can give you three examples of professors, and just the Palestinian professors in Illinois, who have been targeted by universities and who've been harassed and fired simply because they criticized a foreign country. Do I need to say the name of that country? I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to be right back right after these messages.
To the United States, please proceed to the passport control.
ماذا يقول؟ إلى أين أذهب؟ ماذا علي أن أفعل؟ لو سمحت، هل تساعدني؟ ماذا قال هذا الرجل في الإعلان؟
ألا تعرف الإنجليزية؟
أعرف، ولكن أساسيات فقط.
عليك بتعلم اللغة.
ولكن أين؟
يوتيكا كوميونيتي سكول ESL Program. أساتذة متخصصون، منهج متميز. يمكنك التسجيل طوال العام. لرسوم التسجيل ومواعيد الفصول الدراسية عليك الاتصال بالهاتف رقم
586-797-6960 586-797-6960.
تحدث اللغة وتعلم نمط الحياة مع يوتيكا كوميونيتي سكول ESL Program. تعلم، تحدث، وأكثر.
There's a cool vibe in Detroit these days, the same vibe that's at Mary Grove College. We've got great career-oriented degrees that will put you on the path to your future, on campus and online. Why not explore Mary Grove? You can start college this spring. Go to marygrove.edu or call 313-927-1240 to get more information. International students pay the same rate as domestic students, and let us empower you.
Life for Relief and Development is a nonprofit charity that has been providing humanitarian aid and development to people and communities regardless of race, color, religion, or cultural background for over 22 years. When disaster occurs here or around the world, Life rushes to provide food, medical aid, and shelter to those in need. Life also has development projects that provide medical relief, water purification, educational programs, relief for orphans, and much more. Your help and support can greatly improve these efforts. All donations are tax deductible. For more information, please visit our website at lifeusa.org or call 248-424-7493. That's lifeusa.org, 248-424-7493.
And welcome back to Radio Bellity. I'm Ray Hanania here on WNZK AM 690 Radio, broadcasting live in Detroit, Michigan, Ohio, and Windsor, Canada. And of course, we podcast this off my personal webpage at thedailyhookah.com. And again, I mentioned that we were going to have a great guest, and I'm happy to announce that we have him and calling in from all the way across the world, Faisal Abbas. He is a journalist and author, and now he's the editor-in-chief of the leading Middle East English language newspaper in the Middle East, the Arab News at arabnews.com. Faisal, it's great to talk to you, and thank you so much for taking the time to give us a buzz.
Not at all, eh? Always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, listen, you've been now running the Arab News since September. I think you've doing a great job. I especially love that crazy American-Palestinian in your paper every Wednesday or Thursday, Ray whatever, Hanania dude. He's nuts. He's off the deep end. But you have such a good stable of writers that you brought in.
I don't know what about him, but he seems to know what he's saying, so that's good enough.
You're a good guy. Now, you brought in a good stable of writers. What's your goal for the Arab News? What would you like it to, you know, where are you moving it toward?
Sure. Well, basically, as you rightly pointed out, I joined last September. My mandate was to make Arab News more international and more digital indeed. And, you know, as you can imagine, one automatically feeds the other. Arab News was established in 1975, so we're just about 40 years old now. And it was originally established as an international Arab newspaper. With time and different editors, it became more local, as in more Saudi. But I think now with the possibilities and opportunity that the disconnected world that we live in, thanks to communications and to the internet, it means that we can indeed own the Arab perspective. Globally, we can ensure that we hire the best writers, such as you, Ray, to write with us and give insight to people interested in Arab affairs worldwide. And we can do this now with a fraction of the cost, thanks to the internet, which means we don't physically have to print the newspaper in major cities and major capitals. As you rightly pointed out, everybody can log into arabnews.com and get a share of the insight.
And, you know, the one aspect that, especially people here in the U.S., they have a misunderstanding, I think, or a lack of knowledge about Saudi Arabia, which is where the host country, the Saudis, have been the strongest allies for the United States for years. And yet, despite, incidents like September 11th, these guys have stood with us solidly, and they have their own culture. How do you explain Saudi Arabia to the typical American or stranger who approaches you?
Well, you know, I would first thing I would say is Saudi Arabia, like any other country in the world, even America, if you ask anybody about the United States or indeed about Saudi Arabia who does not live or understand that culture very well, most likely there will be misconceptions. Now, what I'm very careful when I get asked this question, what I'm very careful to say is that Saudi Arabia is definitely not without its faults. And, you know, so is America.
Well, every country, you're right, every country has faults. I mean, they talk about freedom in the United States, but if you're Arab, there are ways that they make you unfree. So, but you're right, I mean, every country has issues. But I am very proud of, you know, the fact that one of the most enlightened English language newspapers comes from Saudi Arabia, the country where people might say, no, that's not possible, but it is.
Well, we're trying, and, you know, certainly when you're kind of based in the reality, it makes it much easier. My job would be much more difficult if I'm asked to spin stories or make up stories. But this is the reality. As you pointed out, Saudi Arabia is a U.S. ally. Saudi Arabia is a moderate state. Saudi Arabia is the country which is the mastermind behind the Arab Peace Initiative, which would guarantee stability and peace in the Middle East if the Israelis and Palestinians would both agree to it. It was offered to normalize relationships with Israel, and that was kind of all.
And welcome back to Radio Bellity. This is Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio. We're on the line with Faisal Abbas, who we're having a little bit of technical difficulties there, I think, with the internet, but I think we got it wrapped up. Faisal, if you can, explain to us, I mean, years ago, the only big issue was Palestine. Today, it just seems like there are so many big issues that the Arab world faces. ISIS, you know, terrorism, violence. What are the stories that, you know, the readers of the Arab news are most interested in?
Ray, it's a very sad position to be in, to say, I simply don't think the Arab world has been at a worse state. You know, there is, as you mentioned, there are ongoing wars now in Iraq, in Syria, in Yemen. There's instability and chaos in North Africa, in Libya. And these are just visible. And of course, you have the threat of ISIS, both ideologically and physically. And these are just the kind of physical or visible threats and problems. You know, we still haven't talked about education, and of course, there's a much bigger problem, which is water and food security. It's a quite a big mess, but it is also an opportunity for real leadership to emerge. If we can manage to work with a serious U.S. administration to resolve these matters, and I'm in no way saying this is America's problem, but as the leader of the free world, I think the overall consensus now in the Middle East is we've had enough of what was deemed in the Obama administration as leading from behind, letting things rot. Certainly we've seen incidents when the U.S. was more involved and more hands-on in the Middle East. You know, issues were resolved much quicker. The liberation of Kuwait is one example, classic example of how smooth and how instant solutions can be found.
We're going to take a quick break here, and if you want to call afterwards and share some thoughts, promote something, you give us a call at 248-557-3300. I'm Ray Hanania, and we will be right back right after these messages.
Welcome to the United States. Please proceed to the passport control.
ماذا يقول؟ إلى أين أذهب؟ ماذا أفعل؟ لو سمحت، هل تساعدني؟ ماذا قال هذا الرجل في الإعلان؟
ألا تعرف الإنجليزية؟
أعرف، ولكن أساسيات فقط.
عليك بتعلم اللغة.
ولكن أين؟
يوتيكا كوميونيتي سكول ESL Program. أساتذة متخصصون، منهج متميز. يمكنك التسجيل طوال العام. لرسوم التسجيل ومواعيد الفصول الدراسية عليك الاتصال بالهاتف رقم
586-797-6960. 586-797-6960.
تحدث اللغة وتعلم نمط الحياة مع يوتيكا كوميونيتي سكول ESL Program. تعلم، تحدث، وأكثر.
مولاي آمتي ترافل، هناك من يقدم الخدمة وهناك من يصنعها. آمتي ترافل وكيل معتمد للحج والعمرة، عضو منظمة آياتا، رواد في الحج والعمرة. آمتي ترافل تذاكر سفر، برامج عمرة طوال العام ورحلات حول العالم. آمتي ترافل تعلن عن فتح باب الحجز لأداء فريضة الحج لهذا العام، بادروا بحجز أماكنكم من الآن. أسعارنا متميزة وخدماتنا ممتازة. آمتي ترافل، إدارة نبيل الباشا.
لمزيد من المعلومات اتصلوا على 586-578-9126 586-578-9126 أو زورونا على 28695 راين رود في مدينة وارن. آمتي ترافل، للثقة عنوان.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Ghana, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
I like your point about leading from behind when in referencing President Obama, because I think that's a great way to describe what he did. And when you really think about it, you look back at the various administrations, and it may turn out that George W. Bush probably did more to help the Arab world in spite of the destruction of Iraq and all the wars. I mean, he at least had a forceful position that he pursued. When you look at President Obama, here's a guy who we thought was going to change things. And I think things got worse under Obama.
It definitely did. Now, just to be fair, he did not, you know, inherit the this part of the world on a plate of gold, certainly not. But you simply cannot stick your head in the sand and just pretend that the problems don't exist, or you know, tell everybody you need to be adults and you need to solve your own problems. Yes, you're very right. George Bush probably was the most criticized U.S. president ever for the Iraq War. But let us not forget, the war itself was a success. I think it was in a matter of 20 days. The regime was toppled. The only issues emerged in the post-war strategy. One, based on ill advice, the U.S. government went ahead and dissolved the Ba'ath Party and dissolved the army, which were the only things keeping the country together. Had that didn't happen, probably Iraq would have been a success, and we would have been democratic, viable, thriving state, none, which should have been a model for the rest of the Arab world.
Do you think the difference, the leadership difference, was that one president knew what he wanted, right or wrong, he went ahead and got it, and another president knew what he wanted, but seemed so like trying to make everybody happy? You know, Obama, I think, wanted to make everybody happy, and you just can't do that. You got to take a position, right? I mean, or am I wrong, do you think?
Definitely. He's definitely a pleaser. As one fellow journalist put it, it's like Obama would make a great chief justice or university lecturer. You know, he certainly knows how to, seduce the ears of the people who are listening to him. He is incredibly well-spoken. He's incredibly well-read. I think his heart was in the right place. But I think he was too much focused on the theory and the kind of philosophy. And think about what he did in Syria, for example. You know, he went out there and said Assad using chemical weapons was a red line. Yeah. Then Assad used chemical weapons, and then he came out and famously did that U-turn, which only encouraged Assad to go ahead and murder his people with conventional weapons. Of course, what caused the U-turn was that the Assad regime, accepted to let go of their chemical arsenal. And you would think that Obama would come out and say, in the art of war, the book Art of War, Sun Tzu says the best wars are won without fighting. And I know we managed to get rid of Assad's chemical arsenal without firing a single bullet. Yes. You might have done that, But that was not the end purpose of the intervention. You know, 1,000 people were killed using chemical weapons. There's been, officially, there's 500,000 who were killed, or 400,000 who were killed using barrel bombs and other kind of ones. That's not any less serious.
Right.
And just yesterday, the United Nations issued a report issuing a stark warning over the number of refugees going above 5 million, 5 million people. Now, one only has to imagine, had Obama delivered on his red line, you know, put the Assad regime in check, we might have, and I'm just saying might have, seen a different outcome of the Syria crisis.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. You know what? I loved President Obama. I mean, he came from Chicago. I met him briefly. He was a very inspirational speaker, as you point out, and you're right. He would have made a great judge. He just didn't make a good leader. You know, he made you feel comfortable with his words, but in the reality was he never really backed them up. And I'm not sure if it was because he didn't have control or because he was dealing with a system that really didn't want to help the Arab world. Things are terrible in Syria today. And you know what's interesting, Faisal, is that Syria is like a dividing line in Arab politics. I see that here in the United States. There's a group of people that support Assad and a group of people that oppose Assad, and everything else is drawn around that division. Palestine, Lebanon, the Gulf. Is there that dynamic? I mean, is there a big issue that divides the Arab world more than this war in Syria, or am I missing something?
No, you know, you're absolutely right, but, you know, you can take that same argument and apply it to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. You can also apply it to, you know, to the bottom line, which is, you know, whichever way you look at it, it will be Saudi Arabia against Iran. My take on this whenever I hear this is, let's keep things simple. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict, we can spend hours talking about it and who started it and whether it was promised in the Bible or promised in any other book or etc. The reality is, very simple. Israel is occupying lands. This is an illegitimate, illegal occupation. They need to get out of those lands. There's an Arab peace proposal on the table that if they withdraw from those occupied territories, there will be normalizations of relationships. We don't need to go into further details. You know, if you look at Syria, the reality is, you know, there's 5 million refugees now. There's officially more than 400,000 people dead. So clearly, whatever system is in place now simply does not work. So, you know, if you talk to Assad, they'll tell you yes, but they started it, or, you know, there were Daesh supporters, etc. The protests, when they started, they were peaceful, and we work in youth. We see the pictures, we see the videos, we know how it started, and we know why it started. It is simply not true. The reality is, whatever system is now is causing more people to die. The reality is, you know, the opposition fighters don't have fighter jets to barrel bomb the people.
Right.
It's somebody who has fighter jets. And you know what? It's not the Americans. So it's probably, most probably, the regime. So we need to keep things simple and, you know, put people, you know, hold people accountable to these issues. And, you know, sometimes, I think this was a problem as well with the Obama administration, is there was so much focus on the philosophy and the arguments, and little focus on the facts on the ground. You know, I don't know. It's kind of surreal that you know, President Obama was given a Nobel Peace Prize when, you know, under his watch, as I just pointed out, there's been
the worst. It's been the worst, wasn't it? I mean, even the Palestinians during the 8 years of Obama's, you know, administration. Here's a guy who said he understood us, and yet the truth is we suffered more while he was president than we did under his predecessor. But do the people, do you think the Arab people recognize this, the things that you and I are talking about? Do they see that?
Well, look, you know, coming from the region, I can tell you there's a big sigh, you know, there's a big kind of level of frustration. And if you remember, Ray, we did in Arab News a few months ago, just before the elections, we did the first ever kind of pan-Arab poll on the Arab sentiment.
Right.
for the two U.S. kind of, those were Hillary Clinton and President Trump, about which candidate they prefer. And the majority of people said they wouldn't vote for either if they had the chance. And, you know, when we kind of digged into that, the reality is, you know, people have had enough of broken promises. People have had enough of false hopes. You know, when the Obama administration came in, you all remember that famous Cairo speech in 2009,
yep.
You know, when he just became president. And there were so many promises and, you know, the expectations soared through the roof and nothing was delivered. So people have very little hope now. But it also means that hopefully, you know, Arab leaders can, you know, pull their act together. And I'll tell you something. I was just at the Arab League summit. And, you know, as you know, King Abdullah of Jordan is supposed to be coming to the United States. My idea was I wish, you know, a delegation of Arab leaders would have went together to meet President Trump.
Yes.
And look, we just had an Arab League summit. This is what we want. And this is, you know, as a united front, this is what, you know, we don't have to be united in everything. You look at the European Union, you know, Brexit and so many problems. I mean, very people realize that, you know, the Brits and the Europeans took 15 years to agree on a single definition of chocolate. So, you know, differences are in our nature. But I think what would have been a much better position if three or four Arab leaders went together to meet President Trump and say, look, these are 3 points which we are happy to work with your administration and we'll do whatever it takes to ensure it's a success for you and it's a success for us.
So, I think that would be phenomenal if they did that. I mean, but it would be so out of character, you know, from the Arab world, but it would be ingenious. It's a great idea. And I think, as you know, I've covered politics in the U.S. for 40 years, and Trump, despite some really ugly rhetoric and political positions that he's taken, I could see an aspect of him where he really wants to help the people of the Arab world and the Palestinians. It's hard to see that when, you know, when you're upset about this issue of the Muslim ban and all this stuff. But I think he's the victim of a media war here in the United States. And he's doing a terrible job of dealing with the media. But at the same time, the Arab world, you know, doesn't do a great job, do they, with PR and the media?
No, they don't. Then we have to call a spade a spade. They certainly do not do good in terms of winning the PR war, but so doesn't President Trump. Look, I'm definitely not a fan of a lot of the things he had said during his campaign. I'm not a fan of all his decisions, but I think I speak for many when I say we've had enough from politics who smile in your face,
right,
say the nice things, and then do the complete opposite. Obama is probably worshipped in Palestine as kind of a very pro-Palestinian leader, only because he's on bad terms with Netanyahu.
Right.
But few people know the facts, although the facts are out there, that there is no U.S. president who has done more for Israel more than President Obama.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing to me. You know, when I tell people that, they go, "But the way he talks to us makes us feel good." I said, "Yeah, but that's like a cover for all the terrible things that are being done."
Maybe President Trump will be a breath of fresh air. I know that sounds crazy to say, but maybe we don't care about what he says, and let's just judge what he does.
Well, is it also possible that, you know, politics in the United States is not all or nothing? So, for example, I don't have to agree 100% with Trump. I maybe agree with 60% of what he says, and I disagree with 40%, and this partial embrace of a politician in the West, because that's how they vote on people. Nobody's 100% great. Do you think the Arab world expects somebody to be 100% perfect, and that's why we're always disappointed with American politics?
No, I think the problem is we were very naive, and we're not very experienced. Don't forget, we're not really very much experienced with campaigns and, you know, election promises and things like that. And the fact that almost all of them are never kind of adhered to. So people took President Obama on his word and expected him to deliver. He didn't. So all I'm saying is, you know, maybe President Trump will surprise us.
That's fascinating. We're on the line with Faisal Abbas. He's a longtime journalist, an author, and the editor-in-chief of the leading Middle East English language news daily, The Arab News. Now, you can visit The Arab News and read it in English at arabnews.com. Faisal, a couple more issues I'd like to ask you before we let you go. And again, I appreciate you coming on board and, you know, talking to us and helping us understand these things. What's the most important issue, would you say, to the readers of the Arab News today? Because I could see that it's not always the things that I think are important that drive the dialogue, obviously. I'm focused on Palestine. I'm focused on American politics. Do the people in the Arab world care about what Americans think, or do they just view them? And do they think that Arab Americans have a way of helping, you know, the Middle East, or are we really just an aberration, you know, in the Arab world as Arab Americans?
You know what, Ray? I'm going to give you an exclusive. We actually commissioned a study to answer those exact questions. And if, you know, if I wasn't too much of a heavy guest with you this time, I promise you to give you the first, kind of the first results as soon as they come out in less than a month's time. So I will
Let's hold that off then, and we can talk about that later sometime. And the very fact that you're even addressing that issue to me is exactly why I think you make a great editor. Because you're taking the journalism beyond the old ways of Middle East journalism, and you're looking at it in the sense of today's new journalism, and that's why I think it's very powerful. Any final issues that you wanted to mention or bring up, Faisal, that I didn't ask about? Anything that readers should know about?
You mentioned Arab Americans, and you know, I know we're all very busy with our lives. We are all very busy, you know, putting bread on the table, and you know we have to run businesses and etc. But I think there is a lot of potential in the kind of power that somebody who's lived in the U.S., somebody who's you know who understands U.S. politics, somebody who understands how you know media in a kind of democratic societies work. To be able to help in kind of clarifying, as I said, nobody wants spin doctors. Nobody wants anybody to say nothing that is not true. But
right.
You know what we need is more advocates of people who are saying, you know what, you want to hate us, hate us. Just get the facts straight first. You know, don't hate us on something that is not true. Get the facts right, and then make your decision. And I have to say again, when we speak in less than a month's time. I can tell you from now that there's a big role that the Arab media in English and certainly Arab News will be playing to hopefully try to find a solution to this issue.
Well, I know that we want to do whatever we can to help you get that word out to people here in the United States, because no people on this planet needs to listen to the Arab view more than Americans. They are so headlocked by the pro-Israel lobby here. When it comes to the Israel-Middle East conflict, that it's almost as if that they're not allowed to hear our voices. And sometimes we in the Middle East make it easy for Americans to not hear us by not addressing what Americans want to hear. Listen, I'm really honored to have had Faisal Abbas. Faisal, it's great to have talked to you, and I really appreciate the opportunity, obviously, but I'm really proud to be writing for the Arab News, and I think that the responses I've gotten show me that a lot of other people agree that it's doing a great job there, and we just wish you the best in continuing to push it forward.
Thank you so much, Ray. It's a pleasure being on your show. Thank you.
All right, we will talk to you later. That's Faisal Abbas. His website and newspaper are the Arab News, and the website is arabnews.com. We're going to take a quick break here. And if you want to call afterwards and share some thoughts, promote something, you give us a call at 248-557-3300. I'm Ray Hanania, and we will be right back right after these messages.
Welcome to the United States. Please proceed to the passport control.
ماذا يقول؟ إلى أين أذهب؟ أفعل؟ لو سمحت هل تساعدني؟ ماذا قال هذا الرجل في الإعلان؟
ألا تعرف الإنجليزية؟
أعرف ولكن أساسيات فقط.
عليك بتعلم اللغة.
ولكن أين؟
يوتيكا كوميونيتي سكول ESL Program. أساتذة متخصصون، منهج متميز. يمكنك التسجيل طوال العام. لرسوم التسجيل ومواعيد الفصول الدراسية عليك الاتصال بالهاتف رقم
586-797-6960 586-797-6960.
تحدث اللغة وتعلم نمط الحياة مع يوتيكا كوميونيتي سكول ESL Program. تعلم، تحدث وأكثر.
آمتي ترافل، هناك من يقدم الخدمة وهناك من يصنعها. آمتي ترافل وكيل معتمد للحج والعمرة، عضو منظمة آياتا، رواد في الحج والعمرة. آمتي ترافل تذاكر سفر، برامج عمرة طوال العام ورحلات حول العالم. آمتي ترافل تعلن عن فتح باب الحجز لأداء فريضة الحج لهذا العام. بادروا بحجز أماكنكم من الآن، أسعارنا متميزة وخدماتنا ممتازة. آمتي ترافل، إدارة نبيل الباشا.
لمزيد من المعلومات اتصلوا على 586-578-9126 586-578-9126 أو زورونا على 28695 Ryan Road في مدينة وارن. أمتي ترافل للثقة عنوان.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Lana, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products, because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
You know, what's really fascinating is that when you look at the internet, there's a big burst of tweets about the Arab leaders at the Arab summit sleeping during the meetings. And I'm thinking, okay, that's the typical problem that we have as Arabs. We get so easily distracted. Yeah, it's true, we could sit there and beat them up and talk about them sleeping. But what about us sleeping? You know, the Arab world, the Arab community, we're sleeping. And, we love to dish out criticism, but we never love to address our own criticism. What I mean by that is, you know what, that's like all we have. And we should try to figure out a way, you know, to strengthen our voice, not to ridicule it. So, yeah, I guess it's all funny, and everybody on social media is posting pictures of Arab leaders who are sleeping. I'll tell you what. You travel and you go to these meetings. I've been to some meetings, Arab conferences, that are the most boring I've ever sat through. And you listen to it, and that would put anybody to sleep. So I don't know. I just, there's this tendency in the Arab community to self-criticize so much. And yet there's so much out there that we need to really address, like what Israel's doing, you know, on college campuses. You know, claiming that their Israeli students are the victims, when we know that the real victims at college campuses are any Arab who dares to criticize Israel's government or disagrees with Israel on any issue in the Middle East. That's where the real issue is, and that's what we should be fighting about. But there's no unified voice on that. We can get a unified voice criticizing the Arab leaders at the Arab League, and it's true, it's very disappointing. But there's got to be a way that we can kind of get out of this cycle and actually produce something positive. Let's go to the phone lines. I think we have Jerry online. Hey, Jerry. Thanks for holding, man.
Good morning, Mr. Ray. It's a busy morning, and thank you for taking my call, Ray.
Oh, of course. Listen, sorry about a little technical stuff again with the internet.
Okay.
But what are you going to do?
You know, your producer, he's doing his best.
He's a good guy, Mike. He's a great guy.
Thank you. Mr. Ray, what I try to say, and allow me to say an Arabic famous phrase, was said 5 decades ago by a former president of Tunisia, Mr. Al-Habib Bourguiba. اتفق العرب على أن لا يتفقوا. Mr. Ray, when that president, Tunisian president, said that, he was criticized by all the Arab, and even they call him traitor. Look what happened today, Mr. Ray, after the Arab Spring.
Listen, explain to the Americans who are listening what he was saying.
And when he said the Arab met not to talk, but to be divided. Not
right.
to be united, but to be divided.
Right.
And today, after the Arab Spring, and I should call it, if you allow me, the Arab hurricane or the Arab tsunami, look what happened in Iraq, in Syria,
yeah.
in Libya, and what happened in Yemen al-Sa'id, which is unhappy Yemen. I mean, those things, they took our region back 100 and 200 and 300 backwards when we're supposed to unite it. So, Ray, I wish if Mr. Faisal Abbas was with you to ask him this two question. When and how the Arab people gonna be united? Second thing, because the Arab people, and I'm a Chaldean, I'm a part of that region, we are not ready to accept democracy. Do you think, Mr. Ray?
I agree with you.
The military coup will be the only solution that the Arab country accept. And when you mention about former President Barack Hussein Obama, yes, he was a nice guy, but he was playing a diplomatic, not a sheriff. We need a sheriff nowadays.
Yeah, even if somebody makes a mistake, I would rather have a president that puts his foot down rather than a wishy-washy president who says the words we want to hear but doesn't back it up, doesn't do anything except sweet-talk us, you know, to sleep, like they're putting us to sleep with, you know, nursery rhymes that sound nice. That was President Obama. That was so disappointing.
Exactly. And allow me, Mr. Wright, to say that. I know your time is limited. You only got 1 minute left.
Yeah, we got
to
go.
Congratulations to the women in Saudi Arabia. I heard lately
yes.
they allow to drive a car.
Little by little, you know, we make fun of the Saudis, but I have to tell you, Jerry, that they're no different than anybody else.
They try.
Yeah, they do. Listen, Jerry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Ray, and God bless you. God bless America, and thank you to Mike, your producer.
He's a good guy. And, you know, I respect the Chaldeans and the Assyrians and the Phoenicians, Christians of the Middle East, non-Arab. I think you're important. I think you're a major part of the Middle East, and they shouldn't be taken for granted. When the Arab world comes together, they need to consider not only Christian Arabs, but they also have to consider the rights of non-Arab Christians like Chaldeans, which to me is a very important thing. Listen, you guys have a great day. Go to my website at thedailyhookah.com and you'll be able to download the podcast. Thanks, Mike, for all your work. I'm Ray Hanania. You guys have a great week. We will talk to you again later. Thanks for joining us this morning. Thank you so much for listening to my column commentary podcast at thedailyhookah.com. My columns address issues from around the world, including news, politics, and slice-of-life topics from Chicago to Jerusalem to Damascus. This podcast is an audio production of those print newspaper columns and also features other independent audio interviews. My mainstream columns appear in the Des Plaines Valley News, Southwest News Herald, Regional News, and the Reporter newspapers every week, and they're viewable online too at thedailyhookah.com. My columns on Middle East topics appear every Thursday in the Arab News newspaper and online at thearabnews.com. Download my free podcast app from the Apple Store or visit my website for more information again at thedailyhookah.com. Thank you so much.